Okay, we're going to talk today about the agenda of pushing religious people out of the public sphere, pushing them out of the business world. First, I want to encourage everyone, if you're coming back and you enjoy being here, please do subscribe to remind yourself. In fact, if you like this episode, make sure you subscribe at the end. Give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to help other people discover it. I cannot tell you how gratified I am by the encouragement that I've gotten from various people to keep these going. And I hope that if I tighten them up, make them a little shorter, just be able to share a thought and go on, that I'll be able to do these more often and not think about them too much, let's put it that way, before I record each episode, because I think that's kind of getting in my way. But let's jump into the topic, which is this effort to push people of religious faith to either compromise on their religious principles or stop doing business. And we've seen that happen many times in America, and now it just happened in Israel. There's a print shop in Israel called, inconveniently, as it turns out, Rainbow Color, because that gives the impression that they're in favor of the LGBTQ agenda, which in fact they oppose. They were called upon to do some printing for for one of the pride parades, and they declined. They said, "We're not interested in supporting this activity." And now a magistrate's court judge in Beersheba has fined them 50,000 shekel, which comes out to be like coming on about probably $20,000, maybe a little less. And this is, of course, simply a duplicate of many different cases that we saw in America. It's a very sad thing watching. America has exported so much that is good in terms of pursuit of values and everything positive. And now we're watching, you know, the whole idea of the rainbow-colored flag that started in the United States. And now it's being flown all over Europe and in Israel to represent pride in supporting activity which the Bible opposes. Let's just leave it at that. I mean, we get the idea here that people have a right to have multiple opinions, supposedly, about something like this. But the Bible also has a right to an opinion. And there are people who follow that and people who don't. And I'm willing to respect people who don't follow what the Bible has to say. But I would like, I would hope, that those people would be able to show the same respect. And that's, sadly, that is not what we are seeing. In the United States, look at, well, okay, Arlene's Flowers in Richland, Washington. The proprietor of Arlene's Flowers knew the person who came in asking for a floral arrangement for his wedding to another man. They'd known each other for 10 years. She had served him on many different occasions. She said, "Look, I like you very much. You know that. You're my friend. I respect you as a person, but I can't celebrate a wedding, a union between two men when the Bible talks about a man and a woman. It's just not in line with my faith and my belief." You would imagine that that'd be enough for some respect and decency and two-way street. But no, he sued her over this. The same thing happened, well, in Phoenix, Arizona. The owners of Brush and Nib Calligraphy didn't wait for a case to actually happen. They went and sued the city when the city enacted an ordinance that would have demanded that they perform their services in favor of a ceremony they didn't want to participate in, or else they would be fined. And then there's a place called the Hitching Post Wedding Chapel, and it's run by a pair of pastors. And they do a whole commercial operation. I mean, but this is not exactly where I would suggest people go get married, but this is what they want to do. It's a free country, right? Well, apparently not. Because if they refused to do a ceremony for a same-gender couple, they faced massive fines. They eventually had to, in order to settle this whole thing, they had to reincorporate as a religious ministry, as a nonprofit corporation, and in that way be able to continue doing what it was that they always wanted to do, which is perform wedding services. This is nuts, right? You would think that people ought to be able to live their life. This is not about people. This is nothing like the case that happened with Arlene's Flowers. She'd worked with the guy for 10 years. She had nothing against him as a person. This was not bigotry against people and their identity. They have to lie about it, because when you talk about it straight and even in even tones and understand, then it becomes obvious that, you know, you should let people live their lives, including religious people who say, look, I it's not about you as a person. I just can't endorse the activity that you are doing. And the poster boy for this case, the guy who you really ought to follow and know about, is a guy named Jack Phillips, who runs the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Lakewood, Colorado. I've actually been following that case for a while. I was actually invited to a rally supporting him. I was invited to speak there. They specifically wanted a Jewish speaker to join in and say, look, this is about all of our religious liberty and how important it is to all of us, which it absolutely is. Jack bakes cakes for primarily weddings, and they're custom work. It's him investing his hours, his time, his creativity to do the best work possible. He has previously declined to do cakes for any number of causes or occasions that he doesn't support. For example, he doesn't celebrate Halloween. He would not do a cake to celebrate Halloween. He refused to do a cake that advocated for use of illegal drugs or even marijuana, which is now legal in Colorado. He wouldn't do the cake. I'm sorry, I just don't support this activity. And you see, everybody got it. Nobody said that's illegal. Nobody said that's wrong. Nobody said that's bigoted against people who use marijuana. So what happens here is they've changed the rules. By the way, he apparently, specifically, refused to bake a cake that disparaged other people, including people who are LGBTQ. He said, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in being bigoted against or supporting activity against any other person. This is a fundamentally decent guy. I mean, you got to respect that. But they don't respect that. On the contrary, when he declined to bake a cake to celebrate two people of the same gender getting married, the people filed a complaint, and the Colorado Civil Rights Division decided to go after him. He was defended by Alliance Defending Freedom. It went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. The Supreme Court kind of determined a rather narrow exception. They said, we see that the Colorado Civil Rights Division exhibited hostility towards religion. How do we know that? Because one of the commissioners called religious freedom a despicable piece of rhetoric to use against other people. And obviously, sincere religious faith is not about a piece of rhetoric. It's not about who you're fighting against. It's about living up to standards. You know, what it says in the Bible is that a man and a woman go become one flesh. That's what it says, which, by the way, is a reference to procreation and having kids. That's what the Bible says is a marriage. And here you have a guy who believes in the Bible saying, I want to follow what it says there. Why shouldn't we respect that? But again, all the way to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court decided that the Colorado Civil Rights Division had shown impermissible hostility to religion. On that basis, they dismissed it. On the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court announced that it would give a review, it was going to grant the petition to hear this case, a woman called up Jack Phillips. Actually, she's a woman now. She wanted a cake with a black exterior. A blue exterior. Let me see this correctly. A blue exterior and a pink interior. To celebrate, guess what? Gender transition. It's a man who became a woman, wants to celebrate how he's a woman now. And Jack, mystery of mysteries, declined to do that cake either. Now, for good measure, this person and her friends, they were not done. They called up Jack and asked him to do satanic imagery. They called him up and asked to do a satanic image with other imagery that we can't even, I'm not even going to tell you what it said in polite company. Then there was the one who wanted a witch's pentagram. And of course, he declined to do all of these things. Again, it's not about bigotry against people. It's about a certain set of religious beliefs that he can support. And that's what he can support, and everything else he can't. As I pointed out at this rally for Phillips that I was invited to speak before, I said, he's not discriminatory enough. Because if really he would only do cakes for other evangelicals in support of the evangelical church, that would mean he doesn't bake for Catholics, he doesn't bake for Hindus or Muslims or Jews, and nobody can stand up and call it something that it's not. But no, he follows the Bible. The Bible says man and a woman, fine, okay, man and a woman, but nothing else. And so for this reason, because of this, they're going after him. They're chasing him down. So this second complaint, again, the Colorado Civil Rights Division picks it up again and says, oh, we're going to look at the, you know, this cake. And the problem is, what ended up getting rid of this second case, is that Jack's lawyers, Alliance Defending Freedom, uncovered in a transcript of a meeting of the commissioners that the commissioners expressed agreement with that previous commissioner who had called religious freedom a despicable piece of rhetoric. So if we're dealing with that same bias against religious expression, the Colorado Civil Rights Division knew that they were not going to win, and they gave it up. So the person who called him and asked for the cake then went and filed a case in state court. And this is just blatant persecution to get people out of the business. And, you know, you want an example of real bigotry? I uncovered it doing research for my address out there. There is a group called Opposing Against Human Abortion. They went into a coffee shop after handing out flyers, and the coffee shop owner, who is a gay man, threw them out when he found out that the group was called Against Human Abortion. We're opposing human abortion. I'm forgetting the exact name of the organization right now, but you get the idea. He threw them out not because he didn't want to support an activity, but on the contrary, because of who they were. Because they were adherents of that group, he refused to give them coffee. Look, you follow American values and Western values and right and wrong. You follow Jewish values. When a guy asks you for coffee, you serve him a coffee. You find out the guy committed a crime. He robbed a bank. Are you a judge? Are you a jury? Did he do his time? Has he been sent to prison? I mean, I assume that if the guy had robbed a bank, that he's been arrested already, and the reason why he's in your coffee shop is because he did his time. Give the man a coffee. It's not up to you to serve as judge, jury, and executioner if you want to be, you know, engaged with the public. But on the contrary, if a guy asks me for a coffee with pork in it, I'm sorry, I'm Jewish, I keep kosher, I can't serve you a coffee with pork in it. I mean, that's, again, this is an obvious thing. It's about, you know, and by the way, just the idea that they have to lie. I should tell you my personal story related to this, because when I went out to that rally, I said, you know why the courts are confused? Because there are only two genders. And everybody laughed. And I didn't actually think it was a laugh line. I didn't think it was an applause line. I just thought I was making a logical point that because there are only two genders, there's a confusion between saying, I support uniquely behavior A, and being discriminating against behavior B. Like I said, if he would only serve evangelicals, and therefore he wouldn't serve Hindus and Muslims and Jews and even Catholics, well, that would indicate that what he was doing was celebrating a particular religion and a particular type of religious union Not that he's biased or bigoted against anybody else. He just favors this one. He prefers A, and people have a right to prefer A. There's a difference between favoring something and discriminating against something, obviously. So then I gave a great hypothetical answer to this quandary. I said, we can solve the problem. We would solve the problem if E.T. would come down to Earth tomorrow. Yeah, that's right, a space alien. Because a space alien, of course, has nothing to do with everything we've been talking about. But the Supreme Court would probably say, well, if a marriage is any type of union that people want to do, then either a man or a woman has the right to marry the space alien. Okay, great. But that's, again, not the biblical union, which is a human man and a human woman, and Jack won't do a cake, and nobody can claim that it's something that it's not. You see, the lobby was not able to address this argument. The next day, the headline said, Rabbis compares LGBTQ individuals to space aliens in bizarre speech. I'm not making this up. You can find it on the internet that they insisted that what I did was compare the two, when the whole point was that the space alien has absolutely nothing to do with this whole debate about rights and liberties and everything else. But the whole point is that since he only could celebrate the union between a human man and a human woman, now it would be obvious that what he was doing was showing a religious preference for behavior which the Bible approves of, and not that he was discriminating against anybody. He wasn't against anybody. They could not cover that argument on its merits, so instead they made this ridiculous thing about it, about how I compared the two to each other. When the whole point of my use of that metaphor is that there can be no comparison at all. That's the whole point. Literally, the only thing that they would share in common is the fact that both, according to secular law, would be able to marry a human being, and in the religion, religiously, it just wouldn't get approved. Okay, that's something that we ought to have been able to deal with. But now they've taken this, you know, once they've successfully done it in America, they take it overseas. And they sue. And this is in Israel. In Israel, at the very least, you would expect that Israel, being a Jewish state, it is not, like the United States, expressly not having a state religion, not having any state connection to religion. On the contrary, Israel, like most countries in the world, by the way, has more or less a state religion. Israel, unlike a lot of other countries, though, gives complete rights and privileges to Christians and Muslims and everybody else. But it's just that there is a certain respect for Jewish law and Jewish practice. There is a chief rabbinate. There is a rabbi. There are Jewish values in the fabric of Israeli society, even though so much of the country is secular. The truth of the matter is that even in the secular population, a lot of them are very traditional. The judge here in Beersheba is declaring her hostility to the religious values that are shared by the majority of the country. It's simply crazy to say that people cannot perform, and in the Jewish state of all places, to say that people who say, I can only join with you and celebrate a biblical activity, a pro-values activity, a pro-biblical values activity. I'm not discriminating against anybody else. These guys would probably, by the way, not support a Christian publication or a Hindu publication or a Muslim publication. That's not discriminating against anybody. It's saying we want to use our printing press to support Judaism and Jewish practice. That's completely legitimate, and it should be completely legitimate. Even in a society that doesn't have a state religion like the United States, where there should be freedom of religion and freedom of people to hold different opinions, and certainly in the Jewish state, where Jewish values ought to have some meaning, even in the secular court. And so, I just think that that is a sign that there is an ongoing battle here and a need for us to stand up and show that we believe that real tolerance is not forcing everybody else to agree with me. It's not a bunch of people with different ethnicities all agreeing with me. Real tolerance is when people disagree with me and I say, but you have a right to feel that way. You have a right to that opinion. You have a right to differ with me. That's what real tolerance looks like, and nothing else. So don't fall for the fraud and stand against the fraud. And that's my little message for today. Thank you so much for listening. Again, please do subscribe so you can get more and give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts if you get Apple Podcasts, because it kind of helps spread the word. Thank you so much. And I hope I'll be back reasonably soon to do another one of these. This has been the Moral Heritage Podcast.